Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hey, everyone. Another Baseball America Playoff Podcast. JJ Cooper, Carlos Collazo joining you after a wild and fun and long and impressive and, most importantly, a Monday of Division Series games where we could have had four games that were all clinchers, and we came out of Monday with three different series continuing on. So
yes.
Only one.
Including two Game 5s.
Including two Game 5s. Both NL series, I would say, again, LDS series are generally ones that are not remembered as the greatest playoff series of all time. But I would argue that both of these National League Division Series have been excellent so far.
Yeah.
Especially, I would say, just because of the nature of how close the games have been.
Definitely.
In the Cardinals-Braves series. That's been the...
Yeah, I feel like that's the one we focus on the most at this point through these past couple podcasts. And I think rightfully so. Like you said, it's been close. We had an extra innings game just the other day. Just yesterday, the Cardinals won 5-4 in walk-off fashion in a game that, I mean, really, it was back and forth throughout the entirety of the game, and that's been pretty much what it's been the entire series. So
yeah, there has really not been many moments in that entire series where you say, okay, this one's over.
Yeah.
Contrast that. We'll kind of start with maybe the Yankees Twins. Mm-hmm. Contrast that with that one, where I think you could fairly say there have not been many moments in that series. There were not, now that it's in the past tense. There were not many moments in that series where the Twins were ever in command of a game, much less the series.
No.
They had, it felt like, countless opportunities last night. It felt like that there were many an inning where, with one or two out, they had a chance to take the lead, and it just never happened for them. Pitchers making good pitches. I would say, even on top of that, as much as I do believe the Yankees pitching was better than the Twins pitching in that series, two very good lineups, but the Yankees lineup did better than the Twins lineup did. But more than that, defensively, the Yankees were just vastly superior in that series. You know, we have the Aaron Judge catch, which, hey, Aaron Judge is a very good outfielder, but on top of that, being 6'7", kind of helped him make a catch that if you were 5'9", 5'10", it just wouldn't have mattered how athletic
Freddie
you
Freeman
are.
Would have loved to have had that height.
Exactly. Yesterday. He, you know, the ball off of his glove.
Yeah.
You have them shifting over where Gleyber Torres makes a play in what can only be described as medium right field, not short right field.
And pretty close to the line as well. Like
yes. And that's positioning, but that's also Gleyber Torres making the play.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, you have the Brent Gardner, oppo chopper that Miguel Sano can't get to. And again, he didn't come that close to it. You know, you had the ball, I think it was Gregorius, down the line that, again, it wasn't. But these were the plays. It just felt like, even in the outfield, the Twins just rarely made those plays in this series. The Yankees made all of them. Or almost all of them, and the reality of it is now they get plenty of time to set up for what looks to be an incredibly interesting ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that was notable about that is, what did you think of Severino last? I mean, to me, seeing Severino look like that, he wasn't great.
No, but he made the pitches when he needed to. I mean, getting out of the gym, I don't remember what inning specifically it was. But the fact that he was able to kind of limit the damage and keep the Yankees in it was phenomenal. He only threw four innings, gave up four hits, two walks, with four strikeouts. So it wasn't one of these starting outings that we've seen from guys like Max Scherzer, guys like Mike Soroka, but
and he can't do that right now. He's been limited pitch-wise. Yeah. I mean, he's coming off of injury.
No, I think he did exactly what the team wanted him to do, and the bullpen is strong enough in New York that I think he did exactly what they needed, nothing more, nothing less. But I do think it was really big for the team. And like you said, they're going to get plenty of rest. They're going to be positioned better than any other team in the playoffs for their next series.
And it's the only sweep.
Exactly. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more if you're a Yankees fan, I think. Like we've talked about, it wasn't really close. I don't know if they had a single game that was close. I mean, game three was put out of hand fairly early.
I mean, that was probably one of the closer games of the series, and the reality of
it is
that
the
Twins were still fighting from behind, mm-hmm. I mean, basically all night. They literally all night. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was something where, you know, a very good season for the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
You win over 100 games, you don't... You can never.
Yeah, it's really sucks as a Minnesota fan to consistently get into the playoffs and lose to this specific team
over and over.
I think the Twins fans might even hate the Yankees more than Red Sox fans at this point. That might be stretching it a little, but it's definitely close. So that is a bummer. But like you said, a fantastic regular season. And I think there's a lot to look forward to next year, as with all of these teams, I'm sure. But
the thing with the Twins is that they come out of this, again, health and lack of suspensions would have helped the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that just does stand out is where they were a notch below every other AL team mm-hmm. in the LDS is their starting pitching does not compare to these other teams. And that's kind of their to-do list,
mm-hmm.
I would say, in the offseason. You know, I think it's obvious to them as well. I mean, it's a very good lineup. It's going to remain probably a very good lineup next year.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Miguel Sano back to being a middle-of-the-order masher, you know, not a basically a lost season like he had the year before is big. The fact that Nelson Cruz simply does not age is big, you know.
Yeah.
But, again, if they can get healthy, this team won 101 games, and they had a lot of injuries,
mm-hmm.
and they had a big suspension in Pineda. But you do look at it, I think you'd say, okay, the Yankees are, you know, are set up, and we don't know who they're going to face yet because the Rays in...
The Rays absolutely bludgeoned Zach Greinke yesterday.
In what I do think may have been the best atmosphere I've ever seen at Tropicana. I mean, that crowd was loud. They were into it. It was fun to watch because again, that's not a normal experience in for the Rays at home. But that was a really good crowd. The Rays won it with home run after home run after home run.
Yeah, like they've done several times this playoffs. They had three home runs off Zach Greinke. Let's see, we had four total. Okay, so it's just one extra one that wasn't off Greinke. But yeah, he got hit really hard. What did you think about Greinke's outing? Because I mean,
he's unlike the thing that the Astros have, and you know, they
basically they've said, like, okay, it looks like it's Verlander coming back. You know, so you're gonna have to go through Verlander and Cole to win this series.
Yeah.
But he, as good as he is, and Zach Greinke, you know, is had an incredible career. Mm-hmm. He's at the stage of his career where he is mortal. You know, Gerrit Cole stood on the mound. Justin Verlander stood on the mound in this series, and they look like it's like, how are you possibly going to score against them? Really, all you're looking for, and again, Verlander during this year has been prone to the solo home run, pretty much the solo home run, but the solo home run.
Yeah.
But both of those guys look almost unhittable. Greinke is hittable. He's just really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. He's really good at his craft. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like the ball just traveled a little further in that game. You know, they weren't often titanic shots, but they were home runs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality of it is that was the one we talked about on the podcast yesterday. No, that was the winnable one for the Rays. The climb seems very tall here because... Yeah.
I mean, anytime you have Charlie Morton on the mound, you feel like you have a chance if you're the Rays. Like you said, it's going to be very tough to go through Verlander and then Cole in two games. We've got game four tonight.
Only game we have tonight.
We almost, I don't want to speak for you. I almost wrote the Rays off yesterday when we were talking about these American League series. I still don't have very much hope for them. I don't know if you should. But
I said yesterday that it would not have shocked me for them to win that game against Greinke. I still think that their climb to win this series is really uphill. I still find it highly unlikely. And again, Morton and the bullpen did a really good job yesterday of limiting an extremely good, extremely deep Astros lineup as well. It's hard to do that. They're going to have to do that two more times. And really what it is get just enough against the starters to get to the pen. Mm-hmm. And that's where they almost beat Gerrit Cole. Not by beating Gerrit Cole, by finally getting him out of the game because he's probably going to go 7 or 8 at most. And then, okay, can you do something when he leaves the game? Again, it's a very tough assignment.
Yes.
You know, now we take it to the National League. Let's start with the nightcap. Let's get to the
fun series.
We have two very fun series here. This is exactly really how the Nationals kind of, I think, drew things up of how they could do damage in the playoffs, which is we're going to have a pitching staff that makes it really, really hard. Our starting pitching is going to make it really hard to beat us. And here they sit. You know, the reality of it is that because of that pitching staff and some timely hitting, but mainly because of some really good starters, this is the one that has changed to me. Like, okay, the Rays beat the Astros, but
at this point in the Dodgers Nationals series, it wouldn't shock me at all. Like, regardless of how this one ends, if the Nationals win, I'm not gonna be like, oh wow, like that one came out of left field.
Steven
like,
Strasburg looks
The fact that you have Strasburg on the mound in game five, I mean, he's gotta be how long if you were picking all the pitchers in this postseason, how many pitchers would you have to go before you got to Strasburg? I mean, the good thing about this playoffs is we have had a lot of really good starting pitching. I was worried
exceptional
coming into it
pitching.
Going to be relievers taking over again, which just inherently is less fun as a fan. I think you want to see these famous starters taking the ball and shoving in the playoffs. And Scherzer did this in Game 4, and we have a chance to see Strasburg do it again in Game 5.
We've actually seen the successful teams kind of flip back. Like, again, baseball is always a game of adjustments.
Yeah.
If you think about it, what makes the Astros so good, you know, the Astros really are kind of the counter pitching wise to the, you know, depend on the bullpen. The Astros don't want to go to their bullpen. No. The Astros want to beat you with, okay, Verlander's going to go 8, Cole's going to go 8, Greinke's going to go 7, and we think that should be enough to beat you with a great lineup. The, you know, this Nationals team, Scherzer is a little bit more of the exception to this than Strasburg, but I think come Wednesday, you know, how many innings do you think that the Nationals want to get out of Strasburg? I think, I'll also ask the question, do you think that there's a chance that Scherzer, you know, comes back, you know, which would be crazy?
I mean, he threw 109 pitches in 7 innings, and I think he's already came in relief at some point, so that might be a little rich, but there is a day, like anything's possible. It wouldn't shock me. He probably would ask for the ball at that point, but Seven innings.
That reminds
hits.
Me. That reminds me. I'm sorry, I got to interject, no, but that it. Reminds me of the. I'll never forget. It's one of John Manuel's favorite stories of all time.
I know where this one's going.
You know, the Houston Street. Yeah. He basically pitches. He's a 1-2-3 inning reliever who goes pretty much a game against Cuba coming out of the pen. Mm-hmm. One of the most heroic USA Baseball performances of all time when he was at Texas, and so that happens. Again, nowadays it would never happen. I mean, just to say, like, it would never be allowed to happen. Like, you cannot throw that many innings out of the pen, but, you know, not stretched out like that and all that. And then, like, the next day, you know, basically he's angling to get back in the game. Like, I can give you an inning, you know, and it's like, no, you don't need to. But Max Scherzer in this series is like, I can give you an inning.
No, but he just looks fantastic. I mean, it's nice to see him pitching like this after struggling a little bit. Throughout the end of the season, dealing with a few injuries. But what really was maybe the highlight of this game for me was seeing Ryan Zimmerman hit that big home run. I mean, if there's anyone that kind of represents the Nationals, it's got to be Ryan Zimmerman. He's one of the most adored players in that franchise. He led this game in win probability added because of that big home run. Went 2-for-4 with the homer, 3 RBIs. And normally when we're looking at the Nationals, I'm looking for Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon to kind of get things done for them. This one, it was Trey Turner, it was Ryan Zimmerman, it was Howie Kendrick. So that was cool to see. I think maybe the most defining kind of moment for Ryan Zimmerman's career, and that's a really long one, obviously. What did you think
about
that?
A 15-year Nationals career, so that's, you know, that is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think especially... I mean, really, part of that comes down to what happens now. Mm-hmm. Because as great as that moment was, if Walker Buehler goes out there and, which, by the way, we're talking about Strasburg, but, okay, if you said, you asked the question, I never got around to answering it, mm-hmm. like the pitchers in this postseason,
yep.
Verlander, Cole are 1-1A to mm-hmm. me. They've been the best pitchers in the AL all year.
Yeah.
They're absolutely dominant. They've done that in the playoffs. They're 1-1A. I would probably say, you know, where they are at this moment, I kind of would describe it as Buehler and Strasburg as 2-2A. Like, take your pick of which way you want to go there.
Buehler, you know what, opposing batters have hit just .056 against him. That's the batting average. 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. So,
I mean, this is a ace versus ace matchup. Mm-hmm. With a season on the line. And, you know, I don't think you can ask for much more than that. And the thing about it is that, okay, we do not get that in the Cardinals-Braves series, but in some ways we do. Mm-hmm. Jack Flaherty undoubtedly, you know, has turned himself into the Cardinals ace. Mm-hmm. Again, very good pitching staff. And, you know, this has also been a series where the starting pitching has been generally excellent mm-hmm. and the relief pitching has been generally abysmally awful.
Yep.
But Mike Fulton-Aiwitz has not had that as a season, mm-hmm. but he did show flashes of it down the stretch, and he was exceptional in his first start in this series.
I mean, Fulton-Aiwitz is one of 6 pitchers, along with Buehler, who we mentioned, one of 6 starters, I should say, in the playoffs, who hasn't allowed a run. So you got to be happy.
His first start
with that.
Was excellent.
It was fantastic. It was 7 strikeouts over 7 innings. I think he gave up just 3 hits, and again, no walks, no runs. So both of these pitching matchups are going to be fantastic.
The concern both these teams face is, okay, neither of these teams can feel comfortable with their bullpen right now. I mean, simply neither of them. And again, last night, admittedly, it was that was the best outing that the Cardinals bullpen has had. Mm-hmm. It was, you know... It was Shane Green, and then, you know, at the end there, tail end there, Julio Teheran, who kind of blew it for the Braves. But everyone gets a day to basically reset, which is probably important for both these teams for one thing, because, Carlos Martinez was a little bit better last night, but at the same time...
You still have to be very worried about running him out there.
But he also has been running out there a lot in this series, so getting a day off is important for him.
Yeah.
The Braves did not use Mark Melancon, who's been used a lot in this series also.
So the fact that they haven't had Melancon didn't go last night, and Max Fried also didn't pitch, both of them having a couple days off to get back, I feel like maybe you feel a little bit better about having those guys coming in with some pretty good rest. The one other question I have is who's gonna be doing the hitting for these teams? Because on the Braves side, Ronald Acuña has been fantastic this series.
Outstanding.
On the Cardinals side, Paul Goldschmidt and Marcelo Ozuna have been fantastic. All three of these hitters have an OPS over 1,500 in the playoffs at this point. That's the best of all the playoff batters, those three guys right there. And the Braves have pretty much a gaping hole in the middle of their lineup. Freddie Freeman has been really bad. Josh Donaldson has been pretty bad. Nick Markakis has not been great. So kind of...
Adam Duvall has been exceptional.
Adam Duvall has been great, and he can't even get a start. So I wonder what the lineup is going to look like on Atlanta's side. And then the Cardinals side, can Goldschmidt and Ozuna continue to kind of carry this offense? Because I think throughout the playoffs, we've seen the teams have struggled, and these two teams in particular last night really struggled with runners in scoring position.
Oh, the Braves had multiple occasions.
I think they were 0-for-9.
They loaded the bases in back-to-back innings where one big hit pretty much blows the game open, and instead they're having to play on Wednesday night.
Yeah, so just seeing who's going to come through offensively in the series, obviously it's going to be telling whoever's going to win. Dansby Swanson has done a good job offensively, and that's been pretty cool to see, as he's not someone who's typically relied on to do a lot of heavy lifting in this lineup. But no, I think we're set up for some really exciting Game Fives, and then we still have.
So Game Four is tonight. Yep. What do you think happens tonight, Game Four of Astros Rays?
What's our pitching matchup?
So you are looking at Verlander versus
Castillo. Going with an opener for the Rays, I think that's. What
I think
we have
it is.
Right
I think
now.
It's Johnny Bullpen today.
Okay. Well, you think that makes it? I think that makes it a little. If it wasn't, I mean, once you said Verlander, I feel like we could probably just go ahead and take him in the Astros again.
If any team is comfortable using an opener in a situation like this, it is the Rays.
I will take Justin Verlander and the Houston Astros. Let's make this
again.
Simple.
This is what I've been saying. Them getting a win was nice, but I would put it at 70-30 tonight, which is that's about as big as you can go.
About as rich as you can get in a baseball game, yeah. I'm agreeing with you. I think that's perfectly fair.
We'll predict the Cardinals, Braves, and the Dodgers, Nationals tomorrow.
Those will be a little tougher.
Actually, I guess I'll have to predict those because
I will be headed down.
You're headed to Jupiter.
High school baseball action, yeah.
You're headed to Jupiter for one of the big showcase events, the final big showcase event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be the JJ monologue tomorrow where y'all can hear my blinker in the car.
Maybe you can ring Kyle in here to talk baseball with you. He might be down.
He might, but I was going to say it is also, it is early on the West Coast
when
we do these
things.
That is
fair.
So we do thank you for the download, and we will be back again tomorrow. As a reminder, as always, subscribe to the Baseball America podcast on whatever your podcast app of choice is. But also, we'd love if you would subscribe to Baseball America, the magazine or the website, store.baseballamerica.com. You can do that, and we do appreciate it. For Carlos Collazo, I'm JJ Cooper. So long, everybody.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.